Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. How many of you have been tracking with us in Matthew 6? Wow, what a incredible jewel that is. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me the other day. He said, the parts of my word that you don't know, therein lies your inheritance. The parts that you do know, I have fed you because that's where you are. Whenever you're going to graduate, God's going to give you a word to graduate into. There's a revelation. The word can feed you from milk to meat. It can feed you from brand new all the way to full age. There's no place the word can't feed you. There's no place it cannot feed you. It can feed you from the very beginning. You'll see it from the very beginning. Full age, you'll see it as full age. Amen. Paul said, I desire to give you meat. Hitherto I've given you milk, but I desire to give you meat. And so what happens is your appetite increases. You have to. As you begin to grow, your appetite's going to increase. You have to eat more of the meat of the word. You're going to get frustrated with your Christianity. You're going to get frustrated where you are, and you're not going to be able to graduate where God wants you to graduate. So many people, they level out where they're at, and God can't take them any higher, so he just takes them to the world with what they've got. And it's huge sometimes because in the eyes of the world, it's huge. And sometimes there'll be very large ministries, but he takes what they're leveled out at and he takes it to the whole world. But then there are people that have to graduate. God has a place for everybody. Amen. And we have to come to the place of full age. This is a generation of full age. God's going to get it done in this generation. Yeah, give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to get into Matthew 6. So he began this whole chapter with the Lord's Prayer, and we found out that's not just a recital, Our Father which art in heaven, even though we do recite that. It's actually different components, different operations of prayer. And he talked about Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Very first thing to know about Our Father is it's Our Father. Amen? That means you're going to have to learn to pray as a son, as a daughter, not an orphan. If you're praying with an orphan spirit, it's going to get in the way. It's going to block your ability to receive from God. You have to understand him as Father. You're going to have to meet him as Father. You're going to have to know him as Father. If you don't, if you just know him as a religious God, he's 1,000 miles away, you're not going to get very many answered prayers. You have to know him as Father, and you're going to have to get up in his lap. Amen? He said, when you pray, enter in the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary, shut the door. Pray to your Father which is there and the Father that sees you there. It's no different than Solomon or Moses. They went into the tabernacle. We just go into the inner sanctuary. They went into a tabernacle made of stone. We go into the inner sanctuary of Christ where we're praying to the Father. Amen. Give it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Huge operation here of kingdom transference. He actually gets into this in detail in this chapter. Then he says, give us a day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. That's a huge one if you understand what he's talking about. It's not just going lead us in temptation. He's going back all the way back to Genesis there because he's going to get into the two different operations, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's going to get into all of that. So we've already covered a lot of that. So I want to get back into the light of the body here. It's very powerful. Just drop down to verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. So lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Now, he's actually talking about your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourself treasure in heaven. Lay up for your treasure. Lay up your heart's treasure in heaven. Amen. Neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Neither thieves do break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there is your heart be also. Very interesting three verses here. These are probably some of the most powerful verses I ran across in a very long time, and we run across a lot of verses here. Amen. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light, but if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? See, it's what you do when you just read. It doesn't really make any sense until the Holy Ghost starts illuminating. Amen? He says, no man can serve two masters. He'll love the one, hate the other. Amen. He'll either cleave to the one and hate the other, or love the other and else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot, say you cannot, serve God and mammon. Why is he putting there with the light of the body? God, the Lord didn't just arbitrarily throw scriptures out like that. He is teaching in full contextual teaching, but he's teaching you about a kingdom that's going to have to be interpreted by the Holy Ghost. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We're trying to interpret it with our mind. You're never, ever meant to interpret scripture through your mind. You're supposed to interpret it through the Holy Spirit. He is supposed to be our predominant teacher. And then he raises up teachers that actually know how to teach the Bible. Amen. The ones that have been taught by him. But there's a reason why he's talking about you cannot serve God and mammon. He goes, because he's still talking about answered prayer. He's going back to the Lord's Prayer. He goes, because he spoke to me before he even opened this chapter. He said, the first order of receiving from the kingdom is to receive from the kingdom. I'm like, wow, that's deep. And I didn't know what he meant. He goes, because every time you pray, the enemy is going to step in. If he can't intercept the prayer like he likes to do, he's going to try to bypass the Father answering the prayer and get you to answer your own prayer. Or get him to answer your prayer through his system. He's going to interject his system just like he did in the garden. You had a tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, you can eat all these trees. That man had all of this going for him. Just don't eat from that tree. What's the first thing the enemy did? Tempted him. Tempted him with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you pray, you don't understand the dynamics of what's going on in the spiritual realm. But the enemy is going to try. If he can just steal it, he'll steal it. If he can't steal it, he's going to try to circumvent the Father. And he's going to try to shove his system between you and what you're praying for. What you're believing for. And he's going to try to get you. We call that Ishmael. You can call it a lot of different things. But he's going to try to circumvent the Father. And he goes, you can't serve both of these operations. You're going to cleave to the one, hold to the other, or you're going to hate the one, despise the other. But you cannot serve both systems. But he's not just talking about serving it. He's talking about serving it with the eyes of your heart. Amen? He's going to go back here. And let's look at this again. I really want to get the Proverbs with this, Lord willing. Hallelujah. So the light, look at verse 22 again. It's all about the heart and the eye. Say the heart and the eye. Now, it's very interesting because he said the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, now we found out that word single's got a whole lot of meaning to it. The first is good, whole, fulfilling its office. But you go further into it, it comes from two root words. One's alpha. Say alpha. And the other one comes from the word pleco, which means woven together, like you weave a basket. Amen? He said, if your eye is interwoven with the Alpha and the Omega, Christ, he said, if your eye be single-mindedly fixed, now he's not talking about this eye. Now, to prove this to you, I want you to go for a minute. And I'll come back to this. I want you to go to Ephesians because I want you to see these verses. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see these verses play out, praise God. Because this is one of the great, great mysteries of the entire Word of God. Moses understood this. Solomon understood this. Jesus taught it like nobody could teach it. Amen? And he wants us to understand this because he made a statement here. If you can achieve whatever he's talking about here, your eye being single, he said your whole body will be full, say full, of light. He doesn't say that anywhere. He's promising you, you will be full of light. What is God is what? And in him is what? No darkness at all. Say at all. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, he's giving you the keys of how to walk in the fullness of light, which means no more stumbling, which means no more getting sidetracked. Amen. No more betrayal. They might betray you, but you'll know it before they do it. Amen. No more of no mores. And we'll say, no more of the no mores. Amen. Because you're walking in light. Not one time was the Lord ever caught unaware. He understood the circumstances of his life 24 hours a day. He understood where he was. He understood what he was doing. He understood when he woke up. He understood the atmosphere around him. He understood what was in men's hearts when they approached him. He knew everything about you before you opened your mouth. He understood the whole thing. Sometimes we don't come to that understanding until after we've gone to go round. You know, you pastor a while, you see just about everything. Chuck and I have, and Otta, we've seen a lot. We've seen him come in smiling and going out hating. I wish we could have seen those horns and those fangs while they were smiling. Behind that smile was some serious fangs that I'm here to devour you. You just don't know it right now. Because I look like a sheep, but I've got some serious fangs. And it would take us sometime a year or two to find those fangs. After we were bloodied up, I'm like, oh, that's what that looks like. You get a little sharper if you go around or two like that. You're never going to go in this life without experiencing someone's fangs. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody? Raise your hand. I wish I could tell you that's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. But that's how you grow, too. You're going to get wiser. Amen. What's your neighbor say? You're going to get wiser. Praise God. You're going to get wiser. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 16. We see it's not, he's in the middle of a prayer here, but it's very powerful here. This will give you an understanding of what Matthew's talking about here. He says, we cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, right? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And verse 18, the eyes, what? Of your understanding to be enlightened. Now, if you have an NIV, raise your hand. If you got an American Standard Version, raise your hand. If you got a New Living Translation, raise your hand. Well, your Bible got it right. So give your Bible a hand clap. Hallelujah. Because it actually says the eyes of your heart. Say the eyes of your heart. The eyes of what? Your heart to be enlightened. The eyes of the heart to be enlightened. Where your heart is, there your treasure be also. If your heart is in earthly things, you're going to be darkened by the earthly system. You just don't know they're darkened because you can still see with these eyes because he's not talking about these eyes in your forehead. He's talking about the eyes of your heart. That's the way you see the kingdom. It's the only way you see the kingdom. How does God bring light to your heart? Well, this prayer, open the eyes of our understanding or the eyes of our heart. Say, open the eyes of my heart. With the spirit of wisdom and revelation, open the eyes of my heart. But the entrance of thy words will bring light. Amen. God will light the kingdom up with the revelation of his word. But there's a whole nother operation he's talking about. Now go back to Matthew 6 with that in mind. Amen. Okay, so now he's talking about the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart's me also. Now, it's your treasures in the earthly, if it's a earthly realm, if your heart's intermingled, interwoven with the earthly realm, and that's all it's ever interwoven with, you're never going to understand the true light of God, is what he's saying. He said, if your treasure is in heavenly things, if your heart's interwoven with the heavenly things of God, your whole body is going to get full of light. Amen? Now, here's God's answer to the answer of your prayer. See, when you pray, you don't know what's in the way. You have no clue what's in the way. You just think, well, God, here's my prayer. Don't you know what I'm going through? He already said he already knew what you needed before you asked. He said that in that chapter. He already knows. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows. He's talking about everything from the little prayers to the big prayers. God loves me and he wants to answer my prayer. Amen. The first order of receiving from the kingdom is to receive from the kingdom. The problem is there's so many other ways to receive. Sometimes when we live in a self-sufficient culture, we can love God, but we don't know how to receive from him because we know how to receive from our own operations. And we call it God. And sometimes God will breathe on you and he'll bless you. But that doesn't mean you're directly receiving. When we can come to the place, and this is what he's after. Trust me, this is what he's after. He's after us coming to the place we learn to receive from him as Father. Because when you learn to receive him from his Father, you can receive from the unlimited God all the time. And there'll be no limitations on your life. Amen. That's how we're going to move from limitation to no limitation, is we're going to receive from Father. Amen. And he's telling you how to do this. A lot of times people pray with, I've prayed for the orphan spirit for 20-something years. Didn't know it was an orphan spirit. Sometimes you don't know what's in the way. No, not sometimes. All the time we don't know what's in the way until what? Light breaks forth. Say light. Ever since I've been in this, I've been in very long, for a couple of weeks now, some serious light is breaking forth. It's called marvelous light. Called you out of darkness. He calls your soul out of darkness. He calls your mind out of darkness. He'll call your operations out of darkness. More importantly, he's going to call your heart out of darkness. But it doesn't seem like darkness, because it doesn't have to be sin. But he said that I be evil. I wasn't talking about just going out there and sin with your evil eye, looking at the wrong things all the time. He wasn't talking about that. He said, if your eye be full of labors, that word sin meant full of labor. It's full of toil, labor, annoyances. That's what that meant. Hardship, pressed and harassed by labor and toil. If your eye is full of the system of toil from the original garden, the curse of the garden, when man was confined to the curse of the sweat of the brow, you'll bring forth labor. What's the first thing Jesus did to redeem man from that? The Father allowed those soldiers to plait the crown of thorns upon his head. And not only they plaited, they beat it into his forehead with reeds. And those Jerusalem thorns pierced his brow. And when the blood was shed, God broke the sweat of the brow. He broke that whole curse so he could introduce a new operation of the kingdom of God in our life. Amen? He said, but if your heart is full of that system, your whole body's going to be filled with the darkness of that system. It's not just sin as you think it. It's a system. He goes, that's if you're going to always be confined to that system because that's all your heart can see. If that's all the eyes you are can see, then you're going to be constantly confined by that system, and it's going to rule and govern you. And he called it darkness. But he said, if your eye be single, say, if the eye of my heart be single, interwoven with the Alpha Christ, interwoven with Christ in union, in him what? We live, in him we move. In him we have our being. Even Christ, when he came to the earth, did not come and do his own thing. He said, I can only do what I see my Father do. And I and my Father are one. Or he could say, I am interwoven with my Father. My Father's interwoven with me. I can only do what I see him doing. I can only do. See, God's got to get us to that kind of dependency. To do that, he's got to get our heart resituated, amen, recalibrated. More importantly, our heart, the eyes of our heart, the way you see, view the operation of the kingdom of God. Listen, 5 minutes of little shimmy shoes, not going to get it done. Going to church 3 times a year is not going to get it done. You have to be integrated into the kingdom of God. Say integrated. Because you're not going to see how the enemy is going to work against you. There is an unforeseen enemy out there. And the most of the time, he does not show up with a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head. He doesn't show up. He shows up in very good, nice, glorious circumstances. It's an apple. It's a temptation. When he came with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, after God told him, do not eat from that tree the day you eat it, you will die. He said, have God really said that? And he offered, he said, when she saw, she, wait, there's more ladies in here than there are men today. The man was standing right there next to her, just trust me. He let her go, go ahead, I'll cover you. Oh, give me some of that too. He let her go in. Yeah. When she saw, it was pleasant to what? The eyes. He's going to offer you something pleasant to the eyes. He's going to offer, but it's going to end up broken. But it doesn't start that way. I can't tell you how many times. Now, when you're really after God, really after the kingdom of God, he never wants us to come into the fullness of an unlimited kingdom to understand just how powerful this kingdom is. So he's constantly intercepting us. And we don't know he's intercepting us. He's constantly intercepting us so God can never truly be Father to us. Notice what he said, consider the birds of the air. They don't even get to operate in your system. Agricultural system, they don't get to sow, reap, lay up in barns. They don't get to go to work, get a paycheck, and have a bank account, yet the Father's feeding them. Can he not feed you? Consider the lily. Doesn't get to toil or spin. Think about this. The lily, see that lily right there? Let me get this lily. I think Pam put this lily up. This little lily, think if it's planted here. Okay, these little lilies, when they get planted, they can't move. That's it. If God doesn't come and clothe that lily, he's not getting clothed. It doesn't get to go out to Macy's. It don't get to go out to the Galleria. That lily is 100% dependent on the Father clothing it. It doesn't even get to leave 1 foot circumference of its life. Now imagine you're a lily and there's all these other lilies around. I just want to be like them. It don't even get to go over there and borrow. That lily is going to be naked until God clothes it. And God clothed man in the original garden. Sharon brought this out the other night. It was powerful. God clothed man in what? Light. Man didn't even know he was naked until he ate from that tree, and all of a sudden the light lifted. The glory lifted off man. He go, oh, whoa. They hid themselves. And man's been hiding from the Father ever since. That's why the Father loves you so much, because he knows your tendency to hide from him. That's what an orphan spirit does. It hides. Amen? So God's going to come rescue us. He goes, but I want to bring you back to light. But there's some things you're going to have to see, but you think you see because you have two eyeballs on your head, but you don't see. There are whole systems out there that can manage your whole life for you. And manage the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. There are whole systems of education out there that will educate you in the ways of the world, but never get you to understand the kingdom. There are whole systems in church that say this is what the kingdom looks like, but it's nothing more than a man's anointing, building a universe for himself. The kingdom that you're going to have to see is going to have to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It's got to be revealed to you from a place of called light. Say light. And to get there, he says, you're going to have to get the eye of your heart severed from the world. You're going to have to let me bring you into union with Christ, union with the Father, and get your eye of your heart enlightened, interwoven in Christ, and he'll give you light. Say light. And when you got light, then your whole body will start being filled with light. Mind, will, most important part being filled is belief system. Say belief system. What's in the way? God will start shining what's in the way and you'll be amazed. I shared one of these little things I went through with Pastor Chuck this week. I'm not sharing it. Don't even ask me. But the way we see things, shh. 20 is not enough. Can I get 100? No, the way we see things is not the way he sees them. When you get in there and see things the way he sees it, problem with you is you don't think God feels. God is your Father. He wants to be your Father. He wants to do the providing for you. He wants to show you he's the provider. But sometimes you have to get the world out of your heart. He's going to get you out of the way so he can provide for you. But we don't know we're in the way because we don't know what's in the way. And you're not going to know what's in the way until you get into his light. Amen? That's why he started with the Lord's Prayer. The first thing he said, get positioned in the Father and then know him as Father. Because if you don't know him as Father, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to have your whole body, say, whole body, full of light. So you can see what tree you're eating off of. So you can see what system you're really feeding off of. You get in the church world long enough, church world's got full of systems too. There's a lot of money that runs through church world, ministry world, church world. They call it kingdom, but without the book and tape sales, there is no kingdom. I'm not getting on with that. Not at all. Trust me, I understand it all. I'm just saying what we call kingdom is not always kingdom. The Lord come and demonstrated kingdom, and when he did it, he left everybody in awe all the time. It's called the gospel of astonishment. When he showed up, when the Father showed up, everybody's jaw was dropped because he left them astonished. He showed up as king. He showed up as priest. Every time he showed up, there was provision where there was no provision. When he took them fishing, he filled the boats up to where Peter fished all his life. Never seen anything like that. Fell on top of the fish. The Bible said he fell to his knees. The whole boat was full of fish. He laid on the fish and he wept and cried. Because the glory of God manifested out there in the deep. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. The Lord has not lost his capacity to operate. That's kingdom. But that's what the enemy's trying to shield us from. And when every time you approach this system, he's constantly coming in with counterfeits after counterfeits. Why? He wants to divert us away from it. Because he wants to keep us managed, operating in a little bit of kingdom and a whole lot of us. Mixture. He offers us mixture. Enough shimmy shoe to get you to do what God wants to do. You won't be able to navigate through that without light. You're not going to be able to see that. There's too many things that will intercept you because it's really good. I got intercepted for a long time with different ministries. I got very enthralled. What would be the better word for that? Enamored. I would get very enamored with this and very enamored with that. When I got on the inside, I'm like, that's all there is to that? From the outside, it's very enamoring. Until you get in the inside, I'm going, That's the way it is almost any anointing. I'll tell you who enamors me most right now is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. People are always handing me stuff about this. I'm like, I'm so enamored with God right now. I don't have time to be enamored with anybody else. Because the Father is very enamoring. He's amazing. It's been all year in his love. Now I'm starting in his light. I'm like, we need to slow down. Because light's barreling in right now at an unprecedented level. And I'm like, I don't need this much light on me this fast. I thought I was going to get light and look at him and all his marvelous glory. And all of a sudden, light's got up in me. And I'm like, looking at all my lack of marvelous glory in there. He goes, I'm going to uproot it all. I'm like, how long are we going to do? He goes, I'm going to get it all. Until all of you is filled with light. Until every bit of you is filled with light. I'm like, how much you want of me? Because I want all of it. He wants areas I could never give him before because I didn't have light to give it to him. And now his light's barreling in there. My God, who is this creature down there? Cujo, Esau, that's all down there. I'm like, I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. He goes, let me clear it out because I'm going to fill it with myself. And when I fill it with myself, so I come in here the other day and I was just undone. Chuck goes, man, you don't look like you're in the spirit. I'm like, I've been cut on for the last 4 hours. I just came out of surgery. He says, go up, go into prayer now, go to church. I'm like, I don't want to go to church. I just got out of surgery. It's like one surgical thing after another. I'm like, God. He goes, the more I get, the deeper I get, the more you'll be filled with light, and the more, listen to this, the Father will inhabit you. He's light. He's not going to inhabit a dark vessel. God is love and light, and whatever's not love and light, if you want the Father dwelling in you, he's going to clear away for himself. God is not going to dwell a hateful vessel. He's not going to fill up a controlling vessel. God's not going to fill up a vessel that's got always eyes of the heart clinging to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Clinging to the world. He's not going to do it. He's going to own you if you want him. And to own you, he's going to come in and clear it out. That's what light does. It clears the darkness out. After he's done, it's like, oh, this feels much better now. But God, let's not do that for a while. That is a knife and a light that, oh my goodness. There's no power that can stand against his light. But you keep your eye on him, he's going to fill you. Why? Because he wants to inhabit you. And to inhabit you, he's got to clear everything out. See, this is the difference between being anointed and being inhabited. Being anointed, God will anoint you with all that stuff. Holy Ghost, I'm going to come on you. I may not like what you're doing, but I'm going to come on you and use you for service. Do the shimmy shoe. Hallelujah. You look like God when you're in the anointing. And then you get out of the anointing and you go back to yourself. To be inhabited, whole different story. You're accountable for everything. He's showing stuff you wouldn't even think. Who would have thunk it? He goes, you see the way I see now. You look at things the way I look at them. Because you're dwelling in my light. But you're also going to get to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm calling you out of all the darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. Called out into the marvelous light to all of you who's filled. God is preparing a place in you to dwell in. Listen, Holy Ghost will come in by grace. Lord, come in. When the Father comes in, he's going to prepare a place in you to come through. He is light. He is love. He's only going to inhabit you in that way. Amen. And if there's anything in you that's not light and love, get ready because it's going. Well, I don't want that. Well, you don't. I mean, God's not demanding you take it, but he is saying if that's what you want in fullness, do you want 100-fold glory? Do you want the Father's ministry the way the Lord had the Father's ministry? Then you're going to have to let him clear you out. So you say, the Lord Jesus and my Father are one. And he dwells in me in love and light. Say love and light. Marvelous light. It's not so marvelous when he's cutting on you, but after he's done, it becomes marvelous. Say marvelous. Woo, glory. Go to, I could sit in there all day. Yeah. Go to Proverbs for a minute. He's showing the same thing. There's two systems. There were two systems in the garden. There's two systems here. There's two systems in the book of Proverbs. There's always going to be two systems. I said, why did you do it that way, Father? He said, if I didn't give you a choice, then you would have had nothing to choose. I want you to choose me. It wouldn't be true worship without you choosing me. You want to know, I told this because I told Pastor Chuck this the other day. I said, listen, what sends the Father through the moon is when you choose him. And sometimes you don't know what you're choosing until light comes. And when light comes, you'll know how to truly choose him. And when you choose him, it sends him through the moon. Because that choice has cost him billions and billions of souls going to hell to give you the free moral agency of choice. But that choice is what God respects about you more than anything. The power to choose. He's not going to stop you from eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't stop Adam. He's not going to stop you. He gives you the choice. Amen. But when you see it and turn to him, that's the highest level of worship, the highest level of gratitude, the highest level of adoration. And that's what God honors because you honored him. Amen. Sometimes we dishonor him because we don't know we're dishonoring him. Amen. Choice. You want choice guided by light, not your understanding. Your understanding can make a choice thinking it's God and it's not. Amen? How many of you ever done that? Thought God spoke to you and you did it and didn't work out so well. And then the enemy has you blame it on God. Listen, if you miss it, just miss it. The last thing you do is go indicting God. You don't need to go indict him. Just, you missed it. Amen. Now, if you get into Proverbs, you're going to see something emerge, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I might do this next week, but I'm going to share something. Two women emerge in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. One is the proverbial woman of wisdom. Solomon saw wisdom as a woman. He described her as a woman, a relationship he had. He also saw a harlot. There was a harlot there. It wasn't just the warning of a natural harlot and a man. There was a harlot that was ruling over systems. You'll see this emerge as you get into the depths of it. And wisdom was constantly giving her counsel on how to walk in the paths of wisdom. And she promises you so much if you find her. But the harlot would promise you a lot too. Amen? Amen. Let me just show you a few things before we get close today. Some of you got that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verse 18. The path of the just is, I love this verse, this is a shining light. Whew. That shineth more and more to the perfect day, to a fullness of day. It's like the shining of a light that comes in the morning. It's going to shine more and more until it's fully open. If you're not in that pathway where light is shining more and more, that's the one you need to get on. Because you get on God's pathway, there's going to be accumulation of light. And it's going to shine more and more, glory to glory, more and more. Amen? That's what we're looking for, more and more. The more and more light we walk in to the fullness of day, hey, there's a pothole in front of you. Let's walk around it. If you're walking in the night, you're going to run right in through it. Amen? Barricades, you're going to see things. You're going to see the motives of men's hearts. You're going to see the enemy tempt you with systems that he was tempting with you in the past. You couldn't see. Now you see it. Why? Your senses have been exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat belongeth to those that are what? Full age. To have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What does that mean? I can see the good, but I can see the evil behind the good. I can see the enemy's temptations, even if they're high level, and he's wrapped them all up in good, and they're alluring to the eyes. I can see what he's trying to do. And I'm not talking about just going out with a sexual sin and being tempted by that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his system. When you're praying and you're wanting God to intervene into a city, God to intervene in a nation, and you're praying for a global vision, the enemy trying to come in and circumvent that and substitute it with mixture so you settle into something that's far beneath what God wanted. That is not where we're going. I don't care what it costs, we're going to get to 100-fold. Amen? We are going to get to 100-fold. We're going to walk like he walked. We're going to talk like he talked. We're going to get there. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to get there. I'm fixed. Focus. I'm like that blinder on those horse. When a horse race, they put those blinders on. You know why they put it on there? I want you looking one way, straight ahead. I don't want you looking the one on the right or the left. Look straight ahead. Well, what are you doing with John? The Lord just ordained Peter. Just ordained him on the spot. And he walks off with John and goes, oh, what are you going to do with John? What are you doing with John? He goes, if I will, he be with me till I come back. What's that to you? Woo! The Lord's the only one that can ordain you and the same day rebuke you. He can ordain you to get you to the moon and then rebuke you and send you down. I'm like Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but our Father which art in heaven. And next is that, get behind me, Satan. Peter had that all the time. Don't be looking at what God's doing over here. Look at what he's doing with you. Get you fixed. Your greatest attribute in the kingdom of God, if you want to write it down, is your focus. Kingdom focus. The enemy will constantly intervene with kingdom focus. He'll do it from the time you, if you wake up with a cell phone every day of your life, then he's focused you into his system. It doesn't have to be sin. It can be a system. Ooh, I didn't get very many amens on that one, but okay, praise God. I'll just move right along. If you wake up and turn your TV on. Listen, I love the news. I get into the political theme sometime, but I know better than wake up to that. I wait till after I'm covered. I wake up after I've exchanged. I watch it with Christ in my lenses, not me. Amen? I'm not going to get veiled with the world and then bring it to the Father and say, oh, how I love you, Father. How I love you, Father. I got 5 minutes, God, but I love you. Praise God. I love you, Father, but here's all that I need. Amen. Answer this request for global revival. Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow. Probably not going to work that way. Oh, Lord, I can't get here. I'm having fun, though. Verse 20. You have to come to the understanding of the two systems. You're going to have to let God open your understanding to the two systems, the kingdom and the kingdom of this world. He calls him the God of this world system, and there's a kingdom. You're going to have to see those. You cannot afford to have those intertwined. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. When he intertwines, he's got mixture, he's got you. Amen. Well, I just wanted to come to church this morning. You are in church. You're going to learn something. The churches on Sunday morning, most won't teach you because they have to soften the message to keep everybody else. I'm not interested in that. Amen. I want to build kingdom dwellers. Amen. Praise God. We're going to learn how to operate in the kingdom because one person in the kingdom far surpasses 10,000. One person in the kingdom will do the work of 10,000 any day. Amen. Watch this, verse 20. I'm gonna kick this in overdrive because I'm my son. Say, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. It's the only way you're going to embrace wisdom. You cannot let her depart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. You can add, keep the eyes of your heart with all diligence. For out of it's going to flow the issues of life. Out of it's going to flow the kingdom. The enemy's certainly going to try to get your heart reattached to his system. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Go to chapter 7 real quick. I don't have time to go through this chapter. If you haven't heard this, chapter 7, 8, 9, you should get it. It's awesome. I can't do it today. Unless y'all want to just hang out here for 4 hours. Amen. Verse 1, my son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. What's that law? Is the apple. Say the apple. It's got to be the treasure of your eye. The word has to be there all the time. It's what keeps you attached to the kingdom. If you haven't learned to do that yet, you're going to get into a place of mixture. Bind them, say bind them upon thy fingers. Write them on the tables of thine heart. He told Moses the very same thing. All right. So he goes in and he sees it. I'm just going to exhort this just for a minute because I'm closing now. So he talks about this young man void of understanding. And he goes out and is harlots on every corner. Every corner. Every corner. See, she's on every corner. She says, from the window of my house, verse 6. He says, keep them, verse 5, they may keep thee from the strange woman, the stranger with the flatter with her words. From the window of my house, I looked through a casement. Behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Say, near her corner. He went the way. To her house in the twilight, in the dark of night. Darkness. He went into the systems of darkness. He talks about this proverbial woman and a woman of this harlot that's out, and this young man void of understanding, right? And he follows her in. Now, look at verse 8, chapter 8, real quick. He talks about how he ends up in the stocks. In chapter 8, verse 1, he says, does not wisdom cry? Now, here she is. Now, why do you see chapter 9 is where I want to get? I want you to see this. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top. Where? In the top. That's very important. Say top. Of the high places. Where is she? She's very elevated. You're going to have to get up where she's at to see the way she sees. By the way, in the places of the past, she cries at the gates in the entry of the city. She goes, listen, I know you're simple. I know you're young, but here's what I'll do for you. By me, kings reign. By me, princes decree justice. She talks about wealth and durable riches. She talks about counsel and witty inventions. She goes, this is what I'll do for you. See, the choice is between the young man. Who is going to own this person? What system is this person? Harlot's coming out to meet you. Wisdom waits for you. Harlot will demand your attention. Wisdom will wait for it. Amen? Now, I don't have time to get into all that. You can read it later, but go to chapter 9. I shouldn't be jumping through this as fast, but it is what it is. Amen? This is awesome. Okay, I'm going to close with this little bit right here. This is powerful. Watch these two invitations. Where did I say, where was wisdom? The top. Say the top. Do you know in chapter 9, both of them extend the exact same invitation? In chapter 9, he culminates, Solomon sees the two systems for the way they are. Wisdom and the world system. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has builded her house. You're with me. Stay with me. And hath hewn out her seven pillars of wisdom. Woo! She hath killed her beast. That means she's mingled her wine. She's furnished a table. That means, you ever seen a banquet table with the beasts on the table and it's all beautiful? That's what he's talking about. She's got this banquet table prepared for you. She's got the best wine prepared for you. She knows how to feed you. She's sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places, on the top of the high places. Say the top. Well, that's very important because the harlot also dwells in the high places. Whoso is simple. Now, here's this. She cries. Look at, here's her call. Put your finger in verse 4. I want to show you something. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. She's saying, hey, all you stupid ones. All you stupid ones here, in a nice way, she uses the word simple. Hey, stupid. Hey, come over here. It's kind of like our dog Roscoe. He's stupid. He's got the spirit of dumb on him. He does. Trust me, he does. He's smart, but he ain't grown into smart yet. Hey, all you got the spirit of dumb on you. Turn in hither. I'm here to heal you of the spirit of stupid. I'm here to make you wise. How many want to extend? How many want to answer the call? Lord, answer the call to this church. Bring us out of foolishness. Bring us out of foolishness. Listen, she's saying, if you'll turn in hither, you don't have to walk a life of foolishness, of blindness, of darkness, not knowing when God win, why God won. How come, God? You'll understand. You'll understand how this works. Because she's extending an invitation. Turn in hither. Turn in to me. Say, turn in. Whoso is simple, stupid, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth, needeth, that is in desperate need of understanding, she saith to him, come. Say, come. Eat of my bread. Drink of the wine which I've mingled, forsake foolishness and live. Go in the way of understanding. Where is she living? Where's her banquet table? The top, where, say, the top of the high places. Well, to get there, you got to go through another high place, the one that's designed to intercept you. And if you get intercepted, you never get to wisdom's table. It's the difference between dwelling in the right hand of God or dwelling in the earth system. Yeah, wow. Look at verse 13. Let's get wild. You ready to get wild? But the foolish woman, Proverbs 7 woman, She's clamorous. She is stupid. She knoweth nothing. This is how wisdom views the world system. You're giving your heart's eye to the spirit of nothing. The spirit is stupid. If you keep doing it, she'll keep you stupid, no matter what kind of education you have. Amen. I mean, we'd be nicer about it and say, you'll keep you foolish, keep you lack of understanding. But really, she said, look, she's stupid. She don't know anything. She sitteth, what? At the door of her house on a seat in what? The high places. She's sitting right below me, wisdom saying. But she's there to intercept you from my table, but she's got a table of her own. Boy, y'all are in there now. Ooh, I'm glad I got there now. Praise God. She calls the stupid passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is stupid? She just calls you by stupid. Hey, stupid, come over here. Let him turn in hither. I'm here to keep you stupid. As for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She knoweth not, he knoweth not that the dead are there, and their guests are in the depths of hell. He doesn't know it. She says, listen, I'll offer you stolen waters and bread eaten in secret. Listen, you eat my bread, you're going to have to eat it in hiding. You're going to have to hide and eat with me because I don't dwell in the light. But I'm going to give you secret pleasant bread, but you're going to have to do it in darkness. And I'm here to keep you stupid. I'm here to put you in chains. You just don't know it. Wisdom saying, I'm here in the highest place of the city. All my ways are ways of pleasantness. All my paths are peace. I have a banquet table prepared for you, the finest wine prepared for you. She says, if you'll turn into me, you eat of my bread, drink of the wine I've mingled, forsake foolishness, and I'll show you and teach you how to live. I'll teach you how to do this thing right. I'll teach you what no education in the world will ever teach you. I'll teach you things that no man will ever teach you. And I'll deliver you from her system. This is her promise. That's what Solomon was saying. Start reading the first 9 chapters, especially chapter 3, chapter 6, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 7, 8, and 9. There's so many principles there. Wisdom, the number one principle, if you're going to walk with me, you're going to have to take my words and bind them to the frontlets of your eyes. You're going to have to keep them in your eye gate, heart gate, mouth. You're going to have to keep them there until I can bring you up. Amen? And I'll guide you into union with Christ. See, wisdom will guide you into the union. And then you'll get interwoven into the union. And then you'll start experiencing the light. And when you start walking the light, then you'll understand why you've been struggling all your life. Amen? And when you understand why and how the enemy's been keeping you in a constant struggle, she'll deliver you from the struggle. And then she'll start feeding you with the greatness of God. She'll feed you with wealth, length of days, honor. She'll become grace around you. She'll give you honor. She'll bless you. She'll keep you in the high places. And she'll deliver a path to you that's above the enemy's path. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. Makes me want to go and dive in. The Lord was saying the same thing Proverbs was saying. The eyes of your heart. Watch. Let me have the eyes of your heart. Intermingle the eyes of your heart with me. I'll bring you into light. That's exactly what wisdom was doing with Solomon. That's exactly what God told Moses. He's not changed anything. How many of you want to walk in the high places? We have to get to the place of the high places. We have to learn to walk there. It's a readjustment of a way of doing things. The eye of your heart's got to get locked in. Amen? Locked in. Locked in. Father, I pray today. This is my prayer today. Grant us focus. Divine focus. Grant us the eye of our heart to be enlightened, to be interwoven into Christ, where He can interweave it into you, to where you're interwoven into light, that we can go from glory to glory. The lamp of the righteous will burn brighter and brighter, shineth more and more to the perfect day. Father, grant us light. Ever put your hand over your heart? Grant us light, Father. Grant us light. I just hear that song. I hear that Bethel song, beautiful, beautiful. This, Father, grant us light. Say light. Start praying that every day. Father, grant the eyes of my heart to be filled with light. Enlighten the eyes of my heart. Father, remove the veils. Remove the veils of foolishness. Remove the spirit of stupid, Father. Remove the veil of foolishness that we can truly see and discern our paths. And let light enter into the darkness and purge the depths of the darkness of the soul, the belief system, that we can truly walk in fullness of light, where, Father, you can inhabit us. This is what we want.